This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 12 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. Today, I'm talking to Josh Weiss, founder and president of LA Creative Technologies, an MSP based in Los Angeles. Josh shares with us his insights on what clients are truly looking for in an MSP, the opportunities in advisory services and referrals, and how to start that conversation that will move you from technical fixer-upper to trusted partner. But first, what's going on? MSP consultants Richard Tubb and Carl Palachuk take a look at what's happening in the world and how it affects MSPs.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Hey folks, Richard Tubb here. I'm at home today in Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of the UK. And I'm joined today by my friend and MSP expert, Carl Palachuk, at home in Sacramento, California. How are you doing today, Carl?
Very good. The weather is excellent here, by the way.
We had a touch of snow. That's not because I live on Hoth out of Empire Strikes Back, but I do live in Newcastle upon Tyne and it snows a lot here. but it's beautiful and sunny today. So cool. So I wanted to get things started off today, Carl. There's a story that's caught my eye recently, and it's from the CompTIA IT Industry Outlook Report for 2018. Now, we've spoken about CompTIA before on the podcast. CompTIA are almost a trade association for the IT industry. So there's a lot of great research that comes out of CompTIA. We'll give you the details of how to download the full report, the 2018 Industry Outlook Report, in our show notes. But something that really jumped out for me, Carl, was the research about CompTIA have named AI and machine learning architecture as one of the emerging job titles for 2018. And the reason I wanted to jump in straight away and mention that to you is we almost got carried away in our conversation before we went on air today because we got so excited about this. So what does AI and machine learning mean to you?
We need to differentiate between artificial intelligence and machine learning. Machine learning is really a computer science thing. That has to do with machines figuring out stuff without being told to, like actually figuring out better programming so that it can write its own code. Artificial intelligence is really where we see a machine doing something that we think is normally an inherently human thing to do. And so there really is a difference. A lot of what people in the popular press call machine learning or AI is really just analytics. And as we get more and more sophisticated, I think those lines are going to be a little harder to draw. But today I found an article that just really intrigued me about artificial intelligence in the real estate industry, which if you think about it, there's very few industries that have so much data all the time. You've got to get reports on this and that, and you have the cost of things, and how do you estimate costs, and how do you determine who's going to buy something, and there's all this kind of stuff. And we also see that this is evolving with other technologies that we've talked about in the past. You know, IKEA has one of these tools where you can look at a house and imagine what their furniture looks like in that house. Imagine the next step is a virtual reality screen where you literally have a camera looking forward and then you have the IKEA stuff. And so you walk around this house and imagine what furniture is going to look like. And you could even record that kind of thing and then play it for people and say, this is what your beautiful house could potentially look like. And that way people can get a real sense of what it's like to look at these houses without having to drive all over the county and actually go see them in person.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the difference, or certainly the way I view it is, the public perception of AI is almost like this Terminator salvation, the rise of the machines and robots are going to take our jobs and eventually end up destroying humanity. And then there's the actual real world applications, which you just talked about. You know, these aren't gimmicks. These are things that are going to make people's lives easier. And to give one example sort of closer to home in the MSP industry, back in the day, antivirus, for instance, you and I would be used to deploying an antivirus agent, and that agent would update once a day, twice a day, maybe once an hour even, for the latest threats on the web. Of course, what happens now is these threats change so quickly and so significantly that you couldn't possibly have a definition that captures them. So to look at a company, say, like Webroot, who are at the cutting edge of antivirus technology, they have cloud-based real-time threat scanning that is driven by AI that analyzes threats and says, you know what, based on everything else that's going on out there at the moment, this looks like a threat. I'm going to treat it like a threat rather than just doing a blunt, old-fashioned, plain recognition. So, interesting to see that the way things are changing.
Same thing with the remote monitoring tools, right? We're moving away from saying, oh, tell me when a processor is using more than 85% of its capacity, and into something where we say, okay, we know what normal looks like, and then we can be aware when something is not normal.
Yeah.
That's where we need to go to monitor the Internet of Things. It's also true, for example, in this real estate article, which you look at it and you say, what's the highest probability that someone will actually get a loan approved? And we can look at all kinds of data that is not directly related to the application. We could look at what stocks they invest in and what their last three houses looked like and where their children go to school. And there's all kinds of things that might make sense to the machine because it will find these correlations in a way that a human being never would.
Absolutely. And of course, one of the very first questions that jumps up here is, okay, what does this mean for us as managed service providers? Well, you've already mentioned that remote monitoring and management, those RMM tools, you know, a lot of the tasks that perhaps we would be alerted to before, machine running low on memory, or, you know, we talked about Webroot, there's a threat out there. What happens at the moment is we get alerted to that and then we need to take action on it, don't we? What's going to happen going forward is the tools are going to become more sophisticated, the machine learning, the AI side of things is actually going to take action on our behalf. Does that mean MSPs are going to be out of a job? What's the point in us being there at all? Can't the machines look after the machines at all?
Well, I personally believe we'll never be out of a job because there's always going to be wires in the walls. There's always going to be some physical equipment. There's always going to be a printer that just doesn't want to print. But our job will be very different. I think we're going to see a divide between people who insist on staying purely technical, meaning technicians who fix things, versus people who say, all right, I'm going to help you figure out the database, figure out the cloud learning, figure out how to program this stuff and how to make these things work together, because they really are very different. One of the skill sets that I believe you will see in our industry in the next 10 years is truly understanding how we design blockchain transactions so that there can be this agreed upon record of how everything transpired. Real estate, again, is a perfect example of something where a blockchain transaction makes a lot of sense. Mm,
and exactly the same I would have thought for the legal sector as well, for contracts and things like that.
Blockchain.
But what it comes down to, doesn't it, that MSPs and in any industry, humans are not going to be eliminated from the sector. It's basically, and I think you put it best earlier, you were saying repetitive cognitive tasks can be replaced by algorithms, and the humans essentially are going to become the architects. They're going to point the machines in the right direction. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yes. I mean, the manual repetitive tasks will be replaced by robots, and cognitive repetitive tasks will be replaced by algorithms. Somebody has to, at least in the short term, somebody has to write those algorithms. In the long term, the computers will just do it for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be the case that MSPs, for instance, we talked about those RMM tools, perhaps going ahead and doing the remediation based on machine learning and AI. But the MSPs, it's going to be more about, okay, what does your infrastructure look like? What does the architecture look like? Basically pointing the machines in the right direction.
Right. I mean, you could imagine the way a doctor diagnoses something, you ask the right questions in the right order, and you can eliminate physicians, at least from some piece of the medical field. But with computers, you know, you could imagine that happening, except for the fact that what we're dealing with changes all the time. A human body is only going to react so many different ways to a virus or a broken arm or whatever. But computers, the computers that we're using today literally didn't exist 5 years ago. Then what's going to exist 5 years from now, we can't even imagine. So you always are going to need a good technician to figure this stuff out and troubleshoot it. And yes, some of that will become automated, but man, not not most of it.
And I've often talked as well about the need for MSPs to analyze trends. So a great example might be, how many MSPs overlook those, let's call it as they will, those pesky employees within their client sites who phone up every single week saying my password needs resetting, or I don't know how to do this in Microsoft Excel. The vast, vast majority of MSPs that I come across overlook those trends, overlook those potential for actually lowering their cost of support. But of course, machines won't. Now, a machine can't teach somebody how to use Excel better, but a machine can highlight that, hey, you know, this particular client, you're spending an inordinate amount of time showing them how to keep their password in check or how to use Excel. And then the human would step in and say, okay, let's organize some training with you, which could be a profit opportunity for the MSP, or it could just be a case of lowering the cost of support. So going forward, I see the AI and the machine learning architecture really helping to highlight trends that MSPs could address as well.
Yes, I saw an interesting note a few weeks ago about how in many cases, people prefer chatbots on a website to an actual human. Like, given a choice between a human typing things in, because what happens is that the human is dealing with 17 people at the same time. So you ask a simple question and they go through all of these other people and you have this like 5-minute wait, where a machine is just going to give you the response right away. And they're getting better at answering almost any question that's put to them.
Absolutely. And if you need any proof of that, I think it was recently the anniversary of IBM's Big Blue taking on the humans and winning Jeopardy, the TV game show in the States, wasn't it? And that was years ago. So yeah, if they can do that years ago, then AI has definitely moved to a level, and machine learning has moved to a level where there's practical applications, not just beating people at game shows on TV.
Exactly.
Cool. So what's going on for you over the next couple of weeks, Carl? Where are you? What are you doing?
Next week, actually, I'm heading to the ASCII, or actually, I guess it's a week after. I'm going to ASCII conference in Anaheim, and that's always a great conference. So, and what about you?
Well, next week here in Newcastle upon Tyne, I'm actually going to be headed to quite an old school vendor, Sage, the accounting package. They're actually born and bred here in Newcastle upon Tyne in the UK. So I'll be going along to their partner conference just to see what's new in the world of accounting. And I'm going to be seeing you in person, not next month, but at the start of April in New Orleans.
Amazing. Yes. Yeah, so my roadshow starts in March and then heads to New Orleans in April. And it will be great to have you there.
I'm looking forward to it. And we'll have more details of that in the weeks to come. We'll draw a line under it now. That's what's been going on. Carl in Sacramento, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
You're listening to Frankly MSP.
As always, I'll put links to the articles and resources Carl and Richard discussed in today's show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/012. Now we come to my interview with Josh Weiss. Josh has successfully grown his business from a one-man break-fix shop to a thriving managed services provider in a desirable niche. Part of his success stems from the advisory approach at a high business level that he takes with his clients. In this chat, Josh shares how he finds out what clients truly care about and how to deliver on being a trusted partner. Let's listen. Hi, Josh. Welcome to Frankly MSP.
Thanks so much, Jennifer. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about how to move the conversation with a client from a technical level to a business level. And this is advice that I think MSPs get quite a bit. You need to become a business advisor to your clients, not just a technical order taker. But if you're not used to having those types of business conversations or relationships, you might not be sure about how to go about doing that, especially with existing clients who may already see you in a certain way. Now, I know you have some great experiences, stories, and research around this based on, you know, working in your MSP, LA Creative Technologies. So let's dig into that a little bit. Let's start with, what are the business issues that companies care about and that MSPs need to be tuned into?
And this is something that I've researched, putting together a presentation that I gave at Continuum Navigate, and also is something that I'm exploring day to day in conversations with clients. Recently, I was looking at a site called Tech Aisle, and I found something that I think is really helpful here. There's an infographic that we can share with the folks out there as well. But the top 10 issues that are facing SMBs in 2018, just looking at the first two or three, number one is reducing operational costs. Number two is improving the productivity of workforce. And number three is improving the quality of the products and processes that those companies offer. So they're basically looking at how to save money, how to make their people more productive, and how to actually deliver better product to their clients. And I think that's one thing that MSPs often forget about is we're working with these employees trying to help them do their job. But if we think about the executives of the company, they're just as interested in, you know, how do their clients view them and how can they look better outside of their company? And I think that that's a really important thing for us to be thinking about.
Okay, so that's really great information for knowing kind of in general what your clients might be most interested in. How do you find out what your particular clients want?
This is really one of my favorite questions and is something that has evolved a lot as I've put together quarterly business review process and prospecting process over the last couple of years. I've worked extensively with the Reframe Your Clients team, but also have just done a bunch of research myself. And basically what it comes down to is not being afraid to ask questions. I think as I was getting started in this business, I thought I was supposed to know everything. And I thought I was sort of supposed to come in and present a plan to people. But what I've learned is that you're going to learn so much about your clients if you just walk in and ask a couple questions like, what's the most challenging process in your organization? Like, what's the hardest thing you have to do? And then if we automate that, could we save you time and money? Or asking a question like, who are your best clients, right? And then learning from them, what are the dynamics that work the best in those happy client relationships and helping them to reproduce those results with your clients. So at the end of the day, whether you're talking to a client that you've just met or you're talking to a client you've been working for 10 years, if you come in, look at your clients and really with curiosity, ask them questions about the process and the people and the technology in their business, then you can look through those questions and you're going to know what matters to your clients, right? Because as much as you might think that your clients are worried about, you know, security because they've read it in the news, it may be that the problem right now is that we are hemorrhaging money on unproductive process. And if someone could just help us get out the invoices faster, our accountant would have more time to be a CFO and our clients would pay us faster. If we don't listen to our clients and allow them to lead the conversation, we have no way to help them plan in a way that will actually help them and be productive for them.
Do you ever find asking clients those general questions that they push back and say, well, that's not a technology issue. I don't want to talk about that.
I do. And, you know, I think that's really interesting because I find clients will lead in like, okay, so we have 10 workstations. We have Office 365. Tell me what we need to do, right?
Yeah.
I would say if you asked me 3 years ago, I would maybe feel pressured by that. And I would just sort of go ahead and start talking about geek stuff. But now I'm going to say, hey, you know what? That's really interesting. I know that you have these 10 workstations and I know that you have this Office 365, but let's take a step back here. Tell me about the larger context of your organization. If you're Acme company, who is your organization right now? How is all this technology that you and I both need that we're going to have to manage to have a sort of IT managed service provider relationship, how does that fit into the context of your organization? If you're going to add 3 new employees, how good are your new employee onboarding procedures? Or what happened last time you tried to add people? Or if we add 5 people to the organization, what does that mean to your bottom line? I find that if we can reframe that conversation to both include what they're talking to us about, but also at the same time, leverage more information about their larger business context, that's how we can get them to talk about those things, is to not dismiss the technology, but to integrate the technology into the larger picture of what their business is doing.
You're listening to Frankly MSP. Brought to you by Avic Networks.
Okay, so that might be a good segue to another question, which is, so you've collected some great information about their business, some of their challenges, whether technology challenges or not. How do you start translating those high-level business needs into an IT strategy that you can deliver to them?
Well, so essentially at this point, we're now armed with this information. We know which things are working well in the organization. We know which things are not working well in the organization. And then with our own knowledge as sort of back-end technicians and MSP folks, we may have some knowledge like, hey, the backup system you have really doesn't work, or you know, we know that if we reboot your firewall, it's so old, it might not come back from a reboot. You're going to have to sit down with the client and say, look, we've got 4 quarters in this year. So let's look at what is an emergency. Let's knock out those things first. And then let's think about what steps could we take. Let's say we find out that you wish your salespeople were putting their opportunities into the CRM, because then you could do sales forecasting. So we're going to take a step back and say, hey, maybe in quarter one, we can review your current process and we can come up with all the notes that we're going to need to be able to, in quarter two, bring in a CRM consultant who can help us take those notes and then create training procedures and build them into our CRM so that in quarter three, we can have a 2-day training retreat with our CRM trainer to really start using the CRM, right? Because the customer, all they want is better sales forecasting and to make more money. But we understand that you can't do that overnight. So it's going to come down to both sort of understanding infrastructure emergencies and getting those on the calendar the fastest possible so that as a managed service provider, we reduce our own risk and consequently reduce our clients' risk. But then on the proactive side, really help break down those larger goals of reducing budget issues or making more money for the company. How do we do that in terms of the planning, the implementation, the training, and the ongoing management of those items?
And that really sounds like taking a broader view of what you can deliver as an MSP. So for example, the example you used, hiring the CRM consultants, that's not necessarily something that you would deliver, but that's something that you're helping the client figure out that they need and making that happen.
I think to be an MSP in 2018, I mean, we're basically glorified vendor managers. There's so many vendors that a client's going to have. And working with companies in like the 10 to 20 person space, a lot of them don't even understand they can have that resource. So I find a lot of what we're doing in these meetings is sort of showing clients, hey, as MSPs, we have the imperative to partner with all these companies to get our companies as efficient as possible. So we can help you better leverage outsourcing. We can help you better leverage these tools, you know, whatever it is that they're doing, separating, do your core competency and helping our clients understand that they can bring in a range of vendors and that because of our expertise as vendor managers, we can help them understand what they need to do to have a successful implementation of that vendor relationship.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And that seems to open up some new revenue streams for you as well.
A lot of that, what that comes down to is there's certain vendor referrals that I make only because they benefit the client and they make our job easier. And then there's a certain amount of vendors that are willing to pay you commission for those referrals, especially if we're going to make commission as a managed service provider. It is our imperative to make sure we are only referring the absolute top people to our clients. And so in that, I'm sort of trying to help clients understand, hey, we do need a CRM consultant. So why don't we really scope out the project that that consultant is going to do and then ask 3 vendors to tell us how they would handle the project. If we say you need a new technology vendor for one task, that we don't deliver that task, but we're going to help you make sure the right person does it and that they do it correctly. And if there's a reward to us in a commission at the end of the day, as long as the client's happy, that's okay. We have to be steering our clients towards things that indicate our integrity.
So I would imagine that having these sort of business level conversations is much easier with a prospect or a net new client where you can, you know, sort of establish that you're that kind of business off the start. What about, you know, trying to go back to an existing client where you have this very much, you know, technical task relationship and trying to move that up to a business level? How do you go about doing that?
It's a really interesting question, Jennifer. And sometimes what that looks like is you spend a lot of time trying to redefine that relationship and find that actually you and this client don't actually have a good fit together. You know, in the process over the last 3 years of really transitioning from an all break fix to an all managed services model, 75% of the clients that we had before, we just don't work with anymore. So part of it is having the conversations, and if you notice that the client never responds in that way, being willing to say, hey, we're going to introduce you to someone that actually provides services in the way that you like to receive them, and we're going to stop this relationship to keep everybody happy. But part of it, what I've been able to do with some clients is, hey, talk to the executive. You've gotten this client. You have a relationship with the executive. Talk to the executive, sit down and say, hey, I just wanted to ask you some questions. Again, I mean, we come back to curiosity and question asking. It's really like, we want to ask you some questions to understand all these stuff that we've been doing for you over the last number of years. We never stop to ask you, how does this fit into your business? What are the jobs that your employees are actually doing with these Office 365 licenses that we sell you? When there's been problems in the past, just so we have full transparency, how has it impacted your organization? If you've been down for a day, or if your employee lost a laptop or whatever it was, talk to us so we really understand the cost of technology and also the benefits that could be provided by technology. And I think that's where you're going to find the people that want to engage with you. If they will answer questions, and if they don't just say, hey, I don't need to have a meeting with you because all you do is technology, you're just the plumber, but instead they will engage with you, that's how you're going to show them that, hey, there's more to this technology stuff than just circuit boards and monitors and printers.
Awesome. So, parting piece of advice for MSPs who are wanting to start these more business conversations with clients?
I would say leverage the resources that are out there. For me, it came down to searching around on the internet for these resources, finding blog posts that really inspired me, signing up for services that promised to help. I mean, I know that you just did an interview with Nigel Moore, and I know he's out there providing services. I know you guys have a relationship with C-Level Consulting, and they're providing them. It's like, look around you, whether you have no money to invest. And so what you're going to do is email people like me that talk about it and ask for help. And you're going to read blog posts, and you're going to look at best practices, or maybe you do have some money to invest. Like, sign up for a service. Don't expect that you have to learn all this on your own, or you could knock all of that out. And I would say my core piece of advice to you is just ask questions and listen.
Excellent. Great advice. Well, thanks, Josh, for joining us today.
Jennifer, it's such a pleasure. You guys are such an awesome vendor doing great things, and I'm really happy to be involved.
Well, thanks very much.
That was Josh Weiss, founder and president of LA Creative Technologies. Josh is a very interesting guy. He sidelines as a DJ, he follows a daily meditation practice, and he's deeply interested in personal and professional development. In fact, we profiled him on the Ovik blog a while ago, so I'll put a link to that profile in the show notes, and you might want to check it out. I'll also be bringing Josh back for another interview later in the year, where we'll take a closer look at his journey from his early days, when he took any and all technical fix work he could find, to today as a well-oiled and profitable MSP. So yeah, very interesting guy to talk to, and very generous too. If you'd like to chat with Josh, he made that offer during the interview about anything related to today's show. I'll put his contact info in today's show notes at ovik.com/franklymsp/012. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to Frankly MSP in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app to make sure you get every new episode as it drops. Next episode, I talk to Dom Price, head of R&D at Atlassian in Australia, about a little productivity trick he calls unlearning. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.